This room to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. And we'll read one verse, verse 13. Then we'll pray and ask God for his help tonight. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 16, and verse number 13. Once you've gotten there, let's all stand. We'll read, we'll pray, and ask the Lord for his help tonight. Amen. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 16, and verse number 13. The Bible says in verse number 13, under John's Gospel, and Jesus says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will, watch it, guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." The Bible says the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. And remember, we started a series on does the Holy Spirit of God speak? Amen. And we've learned last Tuesday that he does speak. And tonight we're going to find out what is one of the ways that he speaks. Amen. And so we're going to talk tonight about the peace factor. The peace factor. Father, I pray tonight for your help and for your guidance. I pray and ask God that you reveal to us, God, exactly what you have for us to embrace and to implement in our life. And I do pray, God, you help us to realize a great truth. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us and knows how to communicate with us and to show us exactly what to do and what not to do. And for that, God, we'll thank you. I pray, God, to help me as your servant, the priest, the Holy Word of God. God, my speech, my tongue, my actions, and Lord, if there's anything that will hinder you from using my vessel tonight, I beg you, Lord, to forgive. Give me, to cleanse me, to make me pliable for your use. For that, God will shout hallelujah. God, we love you much. We owe you everything. And as thought came to my mind, I do pray, God, for Brother Lamar. He's making his way out to the house of God tonight. Keep him safe on the roads. And for that, God, we'll thank you too. God, we love you. And we owe you everything. If I left anything out, please, sir, meet that great need as well. For it's in your son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, no, sir, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Maybe you see it. The Holy Spirit speaks. We're going to talk tonight about the peace factor. First of all, we realized and we learned last week that the Holy Spirit of God indwells every single person that is blood-bought, born again, and redeemed. And because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, it's not so much that he needs our ear physically, but what he needs is our hearts and our minds. He speaks to our hearts and he speaks to our minds. But when he speaks, what does he use when he speaks to us? Well, one of the things that the Holy Spirit of God uses is the peace of God. The peace of God. That word peace means the quietness. It means exemption from the rage and the havoc of war. In other words, when there's no peace, a lot of times there's a lot of havoc on the inside. A lot of times there's a lot of turmoil on the inside. But when there's a peace, there's a calmness, there's a quietness that takes place. And we find out that the Holy Spirit of God uses the peace of God as a marker to guide us and to direct us. First of all, we realize that the peace of God is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Look, the Bible says with me in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Notice I keep saying fruit, because the Bible doesn't say fruits with an S. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Look, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Galatians 5, verse 17. The Bible says, God's word says in verse number 17, he says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that ye would. But when we let the fruit of the Spirit guide us, watch what the Bible says in verse 22. But the fruit or the produce of the Spirit is love, joy, there it is, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. Against such there is no law. There's no law against these things. But notice, a part of the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, is peace. It's peace. And remember, the word peace means quietness. It means rest, exemption from rage and havoc of war. In other words, my dear friends, the Holy Ghost of God knows how to give to us that something is very special, which is the peace of Almighty God. And that is one way that the Spirit of God speaks to us, is through the peace of God. Now, look, the Bible says here, secondly, how the peace of God is our guide. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3 and verse 15. And we're going to camp out here for just a moment before we move on. But look at Colossians 3 and look at verse number 15. Look what Paul says to the church, those who are blood-bought, born again, and redeemed. The Bible says in verse 15, and let, here it is, the peace of God do what? Rule in your hearts, to the which also, thank you, Lord, you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. He says, and let the peace of God rule. What does that mean? Well, the word rule means to be an umpire, to decide, to determine, control, rule. Wow. Now watch this, connect this all together. He says, and let the peace of God rule in where? Your hearts. That's your thoughts. That's your feelings. That's your emotions. And a lot of times, folks are saying things like, hey, well, don't go by your emotions. I understand that. Unless it's being guided by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit of God uses, I didn't make this up. The Holy Spirit of God uses our hearts, our emotions, through the avenue of peace. He said, look, the Bible says, the peace, let, that is, the word let is a command. It's a command to do something continuously. He says, let the peace of God. Then he says, rule, that's the present imperative. That's a command to do something continuously. Let the peace of God rule. Let it be the umpire. Let it be the decider, the determiner, the controller of your hearts. God uses the peace of God to speak to us. The question is, are we listening for the peace of God? Are we following after the peace of God? Let me get it. The peace of God with either the absence or the presence of the peace of God will guide us and direct us. In other words, you have the decision to make. So you pray about it, Brother Jody, and then all of a sudden, you've got peace. I think this is a good thing for us to do. I've been praying about it. The Spirit of God lives inside me because I'm saved. I have peace about this. But then sometimes he might say, you know what? I don't have any peace. The absence of peace is not there. Let me give you some definitions here. The word absence means not being present or failure to attend or appear when expected. The word presence means attendance, being present. Some of y'all know how it is. When you didn't go to school, you weren't present. You are absent. Amen. Nobody's going to say nothing about this, but you know who you are. But nonetheless, though, but to be absent means it's not there. And sometimes, my dear friends, we don't have peace. There's an absence of peace there. And now watch this. Watch this. It doesn't mean necessarily that there's something wrong over here, but there's no peace about going in that direction. Remember how the apostles were trying to go to this city and that city and that city, and the Holy Spirit forbade them? He wouldn't let them. Now, those places need to hear the gospel just as well as any other place. But at that particular time and moment, that's not where God wanted them to go. And my dear friends, God will give us the peace of God, or he won't let us have peace about it, the absence of peace. You ever met somebody and you got like a check mark in your spirit, and nothing's happened. Nobody's done anything, but there's a check mark in your spirit. And don't forget, my pastor says, every time he's gone, Miss Bobby, against that check mark, he's regretted it. Because there's something in there that says, and you can't put your finger on it. You really can't grab a hold of it. You really don't have an answer for it. But you know something. You just don't have the peace. Something's just not, I don't know what it is. But you know what? That's Bible, Miss Bobby. Because the Bible teaches us that God's peace is oftentimes uncomprehendable. That is a word. Run with me to Philippians chapter 4. Now we move from the peace being the fruit of the Spirit, the peace of God being our guide, to how inner peace is somewhat hard to define. Look, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Philippians 4 and look at verse number 6. Philippians 4 verse 6. The Bible says, God's word says this. He says, be careful for nothing. All right, let's break it down. That word careful means to be anxious, to worry. He says, be careful for nothing, not one thing, but in everything by prayer, thank you, Lord, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here it is. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what is Paul saying here? First of all, instead of us stressing, worrying, having anxiety, he says, talk to me about it. Come talk to me about it. And then this is what he said. This is what I'm going to do for you. I didn't say this. He said, and the peace of God, the rest of God, the quietness of God, which, here it is, which passeth all understanding. It's kind of hard to define. But you know when you don't have it, and you know when you have it. Now, look what it says here. That word passeth means to rise above. So he says the peace of God which passeth or rises above all understanding. That word understanding also means intellect. The peace of God blows your mind. You and I are trying to define it. We're trying to describe it. But you know when you have it, and you know when you don't. And the Bible says that it passes all understanding. No matter how you might try to spiritually, mathematically, try to calculate it and all that kind of stuff, you still have to come down with this one conclusion. I don't understand it, but I just don't have it. Or I do have it, and I don't understand it. Because the situation has not changed. The trouble is still present. The rain is still falling. The lightning is still striking all around me. But I have something called peace about it. And the Bible says this. He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do something. It shall keep what, preacher? Your hearts and your minds. That word heart or keep means to protect. It is like a soldier or like a guard. So that peace will protect, thank you, Lord, will protect your mind and your heart. Protect it from what, Kevin? From what? All the attacks from the enemy. Because, my dear friends, stuff starts coming at you left and right, and some start bombarding your mind because the peace ain't there. But when the peace is there, everything can be coming in your direction, but that guard, peace, pow, 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 pow. I mean, just taking care of all that stuff. And you're sitting back there, you got peace. But come on, Christians, you know how it is when that peace of God ain't there. Then all of a sudden, you're getting whooped up in the corner. You're getting beat up. And sometimes you ask yourself the question, wait a minute, hold on a second. I've battled worse than this. Why in the world am I being overwhelmed in my head? Why am I having all these thoughts? What's up? I don't have that peace. And if I don't have that peace, there's a reason. I don't have. Now, we're not talking about the absence of peace as far as guiding us. I'm talking about you ain't got no peace nowhere. I mean, it's just gone. You're seeking for, and you're not feeling, you're not experiencing any type of, when I talk about earlier, but the absence of presence, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about you ain't just having it, period, nothing. There's no calmness whatsoever about nothing because there's no guard. And when there is no guard, the devil will have his way. So, preacher, you just preaching. You know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. I know how it is to have. I told you guys before in my preaching, if you listen carefully, you'll hear what I'm saying. But there's been times here, especially the last month and a half or two, where the enemy has been attacking my head, been attacking my mind, my thoughts. And I mean, I face worse than what's happening, but it's like I couldn't focus. I couldn't think. And it's like, and you know, the same thing. What's up? Something's missing. There's a reason why I don't have that peace in my head. There's a reason why all this stuff that's coming at me is coming at me. What is it? What's the reason why? And then what happens is this. When you talk to your Heavenly Father, He reveals it to you. But now it's up to us to either accept or reject it. But God wants us to be guided by the Spirit of God when He sends peace about certain things. He'll speak to us. And He'll do it through the area of peace, the peace of God. Sometimes it's hard to define, but you know when you have it and you know when you don't. Now, we can go against the peace of God. He's trying to speak and we ain't listening. For example, you pray about something and you have the absence of peace, or you'll have peace about doing this, but you do it anyway. Because outwardly there's nothing wrong, but some says don't do it. I can't tell you how many folks have stood, not here in this church, but have stood before the altar with a person with the Bible out. They're going through the marriage vows. But before they even walked down the aisle, they had a check mark. Or they didn't have peace about it. But everybody else was pumped up. Oh, y'all so lucky. Oh, y'all going to be a great couple. Or whoever, let's say this is the guy that you're about to marry. Oh, girl, he got the chain, to chain, to chain. Oh, he looks good. I mean, well-mannered, well-behaved. And you're like, but something, I don't know. Girl, you're crazy. You know what? You just got cold feet. And something saying, but then you go through it. Then you get married. Then 3 months down the road, 6 months down the road, you're like, this person's crazy. I went to go outside. And I'm like, I can't get out. You can change the locks and you can't get out the door. And I mean, you ain't the ones you can turn this way. I'm talking about, you know, the ones you got to have a key. Now, we laugh, but that stuff has happened. I'm telling you. All of a sudden, my friends, like, I knew something. I mean, that person changes. Where are you going? I don't like them friends. We didn't have a problem with them before. What's happening now? And then they want you to be isolated from everybody. Then all of a sudden, my dear friends, you'll find yourself in a cave in your head. But you had a check mark about it. Or as I say, it was a job. And I said, man, you're going to make $29 an hour. You're like, what? Yep, 8 hours, and sometimes you're going to have overtime. So you counting it up. You'd already been out to the car dealership and got your car in your head. And then some says, mm-mm. You're like, mm-hmm. It's like, mm-mm. You're like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's just the devil. The devil is a lie. You better make sure it is the devil, not the Holy Spirit. And then you get that job, and you're there a week and a half, and you go to work the next day, and you're like, we can't get in. Everybody stand outside. What just happened? They didn't close the business down. Shop closed, out of business. What happened? Man, I had a check mark. I had a check mark. But God has given us something called free will. And what God will do, like when we get saved, whosoever will. It's the same thing when God's speaking to us. He'll say, I'm not sending any peace here, so don't do this. Or you do have peace, so go ahead and do this. But my dear friend, we can go against the voice of the Spirit of God as He speaks to us through the area of peace, and then we'll find ourselves in a big old mess. And going, man, I knew something. God said, I was trying to get a hold of you. So now we have to go down through this road back here and get back on track. But God will get us back on track. Now he ain't out here trying to get you in a hole and get you all hurt and messed up and beat up. God wants to help us. But look what he says here. Look what he says here back over in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. We can go against that peace. Now, fifth thing is this. How do I develop this sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? In other words, how do I know when I got the peace of God and when I don't? Here we go. One, the more we listen, and this is very important, and determine to obey, the more we will become familiar with Him. It's like learning a new language. You don't know how to speak Spanish. And the teacher walks into class, and she says, I'll rattle off Spanish. You're like, man, what in the world is this? But the more you go to class and you start learning that language, the more you start understanding what that teacher is saying as she's speaking that Spanish. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You may start saying, well, I just don't know if it's Him, if it's not me, if it's me. I have no idea. But you get determined, the Lord, I want to hear you speak to me, but also I want to obey you and follow you. Amen. But all of a sudden, my dear friends, God begins to help us because we got to have a desire. I mean, it's like our guys here, you know, you can go to school all you want to, every college you want to go to. But if you ain't got no desire, you ain't going to finish. Amen. You're going because everybody else, they go. Everybody else, they go. Oh, we're getting out of college. Go college. You know what? What does the Holy Spirit say? What does the Spirit say? I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes we get pressured. Listen, I know I'm from the stuff in the area that I'm standing all alone by myself in. But I'm going to tell you what, everybody ain't college material, friend.
That's right.
And I don't mean that they don't have the capability of learning. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But college is not the direction or the road that the Lord had them go. Preacher, you better stop talking like that. Well, listen, if the Spirit of God wants them to go to college, friend, let the Holy Spirit guide you. They said, but they don't even understand His language. But I do, so I'm going to help them. Listen, hey, I got you. I feel you. But I'm going to tell you what. At some point, we have to trust God for ourselves. That's why, I mean, we've had people who've come to church here, and I don't mean no harm or any disrespect, but they come to me like, I'm the Holy Spirit. I ain't the Holy Spirit. Well, what should we do? I don't know. I mean, well, you know what I'm going to say to you? And some of y'all have been in my office, know what I'm going to say? I said, let's pray. And we're going to pray and ask God for direction and guidance. And then what we do is this. We look at the different scenarios of what can do. And so one of these options may work. So we just have to pray and ask God which one. I am not going to sit there and say, hey, you know what, Jody? You need to quit that sales job you got going right now, man. Said, why should I do, preacher? I don't know, but I think you should just quit it. And you're like, okay, I'm going to quit it. Then he go quit the job. And then why? I said, Jody, what you just do? I quit the job. Why? The preacher said so. So you got another job lined up for you? No. Do you tell you what the next step take? No. He said, I need to quit my job. And then all of a sudden, he goes in a hole. And all of a sudden, he got stuff all over the place. And he comes to me, preacher, we can't pay our bills. I was like, man. He said, preacher, you told me to quit that job. I'm like, ah. Same thing with marrying somebody. This is my friend. You coming to me and say, you know what, should I marry them? I don't know. I have no idea, you know. Me pray and ask God to reveal to you, show you, you know, and then trust God, you know. I mean, now, of course, if he's a drug dealer and stuff, I'd be like, you know, it's probably been a wise thing to do because he's probably going to jail soon. I'm just saying, you know. I mean, because, and by the way, and I want to jump ahead of myself, but wisdom is also another way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Now, that's not for tonight, but that's for another night. But wisdom also is something the Holy Spirit uses to help us to make decisions. He uses wisdom to speak to us as well, but that's not for tonight. Okay, but I'll give you a little sneak preview of that. But nonetheless, the peace of God for tonight, the peace of God, the Spirit of God will use to guide us and to direct us. And the more you want to hear His voice and know what He wants, God's going to reveal it to you. I'm going to tell you what, and another, I'll give you a little sneak preview of this one too. Another way that God speaks to us is through the Word of God. And see, by using the Word of God will help us to know also whether that's the peace of God or some other made up type of peace. Because sometimes you know how we can be, not us, but the mother folks. You know, it's, well, I got peace about it. Why are you acting like that? I mean, if you got peace about it, why are you doing that for? Well, because you up in my face. Listen, hold on a second. Calm down. Listen, something's wrong when all that stuff. Usually what happens is this, and I've been passionate on y'all for a little bit, okay? A lot of times what happens is people already made the decision and they already came and told me what they're going to do. And I'll be like, why are you even sitting here? I mean, what do you want me to pray about? You want me to put, ask God to put a stamp of approval on that? I don't know. What are you saying here? Because you've already said, this is what I'm going to do, you know, and I've already, God told me to do this and God and all this stuff. So I'm like, okay, why are we having this conversation? I don't understand, you know. But it's one thing, you come to me, you say, preacher, I need you to help me to pray. Help me to pray about what to do. You know, I said, man, let's do it. Because the Bible says the two touch and agree, something's going to happen. You know, let's do that. Let's work on that area. You know, God wants to guide us and direct us, and peace is one of those ways, okay? All right. Here's our conclusion. Let's go back over to John chapter 16, verse 13. The Bible says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you, he will show you the way unto all truth. All truth. The question is, do we want to know the truth? The Bible says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Spirit of God wants to speak to us, and one of those ways is through the peace of God. The question is, are we willing to listen to what he is saying to us, or are we going to simply push it away? We got one question for tonight, and that question is this. Do you have peace from God about the decision you're about to make? Do you have peace from God about the decision you're about to make? I said, preacher, be honest, I have no idea. Then let's come talk to God tonight. I said, God, I need you to give me peace, or the absence of peace, but some kind of way guide me by peace, because the Spirit of God indwells me and the Spirit of God speaks to my heart and my mind. God, I need your help. God don't want to hide it from us. He wants to show us. Father,